Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
This is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Later on, Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.'" And so Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, each summer, we celebrate two special feast days, is what we call them. These are special days that help us to recognize important people. And we specifically choose two of them that emphasize the feminine leaders within the church that were so important. In a few weeks, we will honor Mary, the mother of Jesus, but today we honor another Mary, Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene has been misunderstood in all sorts of ways. Scripture tells us that Jesus did heal her, but it does not tell us that she was a prostitute. Scripture tells us that she was devoted to Jesus, but it does not tell us that she was her lover. His lover. What Scripture does tell us is that Mary Magdalene helped support Jesus' ministry. She followed him faithfully. She remained near when all sorts of others fled, and she became the first witness to the resurrection, where Jesus sent her to tell others what had happened. And this is why the church sometimes calls Mary Magdalene the apostle to the apostles. Because you see, an apostle is one who was sent, and so Mary was the one who was sent, an apostle, to tell the other apostles who would be sent to also tell this good news. And honestly, if we were to think about it, without Mary Magdalene's witness, I'm not sure that any of us would be sitting here today at all. And so we usually talk about this same story at our Easter vigil each year. This is the resurrection narrative according to John. But this year, as I read it through, thinking about the Feast of Mary Magdalene, something caught my attention a little bit different. And this time, it was Mary Magdalene's tears. You see, John tells us that Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And the angels ask her, "Well, why are you weeping?" And she said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And then almost right after that, she is still weeping, and Jesus himself asked her, "Why are you weeping?" And again, Mary was still trying to figure out where his body was laid. You see, John's gospel, right here, right at the resurrection, wants to focus in on Mary's tears. John holds us in her deep grief, in her lament, and in her weeping. And I think that matters because we are often tempted to move too quickly past Mary's tears. For we know how the story will end, and so we want to rush ahead. Let's talk about something joyful. Let's talk about something good. Let's get to the happy ending with joy and alleluias and champagne and confetti, right? This is where we want to go. Yet, where John wants to direct our attention is to a Mary who does not yet know the ending of this story. A Mary who stood in a garden after she had watched someone she so deeply loved be executed as an enemy of the state. She saw violence do what violence often does. She saw power do what power often does in the ways that it crushed the truth. She saw the body of Jesus placed in a tomb, and now when she came to mourn all that she had seen, all that she had been through, even that, her own mourning had been taken from her. You see, that is grief that has nowhere to go. And these tears of Mary, these tears are, it's important for us to understand that they are not some kind of failure of faith. They were not evidence that somehow Mary had missed the point. They were not something that she needed to get under control before she could finally hear about the resurrection or even allow the resurrection to happen. But rather, Mary's tears spoke to truth. They told the truth that death is oh so real. The tears told the truth that loss is real. They told the truth that there are moments when the world will break our hearts, and no amount of religious language or trite condolences can make that pain disappear. And I think for me, why Mary's tears grabbed me so much is that if you're anything like me, I think all of us know something about tears. We know them in our own lives, whether that's been in the hospital room or at gravesides or in relationships that have changed or in the diagnosis that we so did not want to hear or in the fears that we do not always know how to name but yet feels so much. We know what it's like to live with tears. And this last week, we learned of our siblings at San Timoteo who were embracing tears of their own as two of their members were detained by ICE agents, no one knowing where their bodies had gone. We know this feeling, when families are separated by systems that feel so cold and so merciless. We know these tears when a dear loved one can never be held in our loving arms again. We know the tears that come when our bodies walk through thickened air, thickened with smoke as creation itself seems to groan. We know tears. And the trouble in today's text, the trouble is not only that we weep or that Mary weeps with so much grief or loss, but the trouble is that our world seems to teach us that what we must do is we must weep quietly. We need to manage these feelings. We need to hide it. Here is some Kleenex. Dab it. We don't want to see your tears. We want to explain it. We want to make those tears useful. We want to say something cliche about people in other places being warmly welcomed, and it's all for God's plan. We want to quickly shut up those tears, for those tears have a tendency to make us uncomfortable. And so here, even in the church, what we do is we can be tempted to rush towards resurrection in a way that leaves no room for the confusion, no room for the righteous anger, no room for the aching that Mary has standing outside the tomb. And that is what John is pushing in our face. Sit with the tears. Sit with the anger, sit with the agony, but know that Mary's witness is reminding us that those tears have not the final word, for the tears come first before the resurrection. You see, Mary there, Mary gathered at the tomb, weeping and weeping. It is there that Christ came to meet her. It's not her who needed to give up her tears. It's not her who needed to silence her loss and her anger. It is Christ who comes to her. Christ comes to meet her in the tears. You see, not after she composed herself, not after she figured out what this theology of resurrection might be. You see, it was not after she became brave or polished or certain. Instead, it was Christ who came to Mary while she was still weeping. While the tears were so dwelling up in her eyes that she could not even recognize this Jesus before her, and then it was Jesus who says but one word, Mary. Mary. You see, the first word of resurrection was not an explanation. It was not a lecture. It did not demand us to stop crying. It was not, Alleluia, Christ is risen. These were not the words that were first shared. Instead, resurrection became real. The moment that resurrection was felt was when Christ spoke her name. For in that moment, Mary was recognized. In the midst of all of her grief and tears and loss and frustration, in that moment, with but one word, Mary. There, she was found, she was known, and she was called. And something so remarkably similar happened 10, 15 minutes ago. There we were at the font, and Kayla was named in the waters of baptism. We didn't just say, hey, you're baptized. We said, Kayla, You are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For it was at that font that the promise of Christ was spoken over Kayla. And in that moment, it was not some kind of promise that she will never weep. Or it was not a promise that life will be untouched by grief and fear and confusion and loss. For baptism is not to be some kind of escape from the world's sorrow. But instead, in that naming, in naming Kayla's belovedness, she entered into Christ's love, Christ's justice, Christ's peace, into a community seeking to find all of those things. And that's why in each and every one of our baptisms, you were named. You were named. You were claimed. You were reminded that in baptism, you have become a part of the crucified and risen Christ, into a Christ who enters death to bring about life, into a Christ who knows us, who names us, who claims us, who sends us with tears in our eyes or with joy in our heart. You are named, you are loved, you are sent, you are Christ's child. Because it is in our baptism that we receive the exact same gift that Mary received that first Easter morning. For after Jesus called her by name, then he sent her, and Mary went, and she became the apostle to the apostles. She became the first preacher of the resurrection. And notice this, that her tears did not disqualify her. Jesus didn't say, get it together, girl, and then go share it. No, Jesus said, go and tell. Her grief did not make her weak. Her sorrow did not make her unreliable. Instead, Mary's first sermon came from the place where grief had been met by the risen Christ, that had been named, that had been claimed, that had been known. And I think that is a gift that Mary Magdalene has illuminated for us. Not because it's Mary Magdalene's gift to give, but it's because the gift of God has already given it to us. It was merely Mary Magdalene's story that was written down to remind us that it is not for us to worship her, or not because she should be the center of our faith, but it is because of her witness that we can now see something new about our God. We see a God who does not avoid suffering and loss and tears and pain, but instead we have a God that takes the first step forward, entering into it beside us, naming us. For we have a God who comes near in the weeping, a God who speaks our beloved name in gardens and at fonts, a God who brings life where it seems like only death might live. And so, friends, that for me is where I think Mary Magdalene's witness is for us today. She has witnessed to the fact that our tears can be holy tears. It is not something to despise. It is not something to push down. It is not something to rush past. And it is not to be mistaken as faithlessness. For we do not need to assume that grief is the thing that we need to get through before we can get to God. For Mary shows us that Christ, our God, our shepherd, is there with us in the midst of all of it. And because Christ was met, because Christ met Mary in her tears, called her by name, and sent her to preach life, then so too we are sent in our baptisms. So that with Mary Magdalene, and with Kayla, and with all of the baptized, we can say with tears in our eyes, I have seen the Lord. And we can hold onto that teary truth of God's love, of God's presence, of God's grace. May we see that witness in Mary Magdalene today and in our lives in the days to come. Amen.